Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Danielle Bloom, and today we'll study Parsha Sa'azinu. As we near the end of our journey through the Parshios of Devarim, we pause to consider the lasting gift Moshe Rabbeinu has left us, a spiritual guide that illuminates the essential values of the Torah and a meaningful life. This guide, embedded within the Torah, presents the key principles for fostering a just society and nurturing personal development. We've examined the importance of hope, mission, gratitude, empathy, and lifelong learning as pillars for building a strong foundation. Discipline and self-control, often viewed as simple restraint, are truly tools for refining our character and helping us grow. The profound connection between simcha and self-esteem, crucial elements for a life of fulfillment, is also woven into the Torah's wisdom. Central to all of this is the power of free choice, which gives us the opportunity to embrace growth, seek forgiveness, and move forward with purpose. The Torah equips us to face life's trials and temptations, providing a framework for developing these essential virtues. Modern scholarship is beginning to uncover the depth of the Torah's wisdom, offering fresh insights into the legacy of the Jewish people and their unparalleled contributions throughout history. This increasing awareness underscores the Torah's timeless relevance and reveals the divine influence guiding our journey through history. This week, we'll delve into the gift Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed upon us that encompasses and envelops all the others. It is the context in which all the other gifts have a place to rest. The gift and power of our story. Parsha Sa'azinu gives us an overview of Jewish history in all its beauty and brutality, past, present, and future. Paul Johnson, in his epilogue to his masterpiece, A History of the Jews, writes the following. In his Antiquities of the Jews, Josephus describes Abraham as a man of great sagacity, who had higher notions of virtue than the others of his time. He therefore determined to change completely the views which all then had about God. One way of summing up 4,000 years of Jewish history is to ask ourselves, what would have happened to the human race if Abraham had not been a man of great sagacity, or if he had stayed in Ur and kept his higher notions to himself, and no specific Jewish people had come into being? Certainly the world without the Jews would have been a radically different place. To the Jews we owe the idea of equality before the law, both divine and human, of the sanctity of life and the dignity of the human person, of the individual conscience and so of personal redemption, of the collective conscience and so of social responsibility, of peace as an abstract ideal and love as the foundation of justice, and many other items which constitute the basic moral furniture of the human mind. Without the Jews, it might have been a much emptier place. It is almost beyond our capacity to imagine how the world would have fared if they had never emerged. Even Paul Johnson understands that Avraham Avinu was a genius. But what was the genius of Avraham Avinu? Let's try to figure this out. Another powerful question to consider is, why are we so deeply connected to each other? Why are we so willing to sacrifice for one another, often for complete strangers? There are countless examples of acts of kindness and selflessness that we might overlook because we've come to see them as normal. But if we stop to think, they are extraordinary. Take, for instance, the over 1,000 kidney donations facilitated by Project Renewal, each one a gift of life from a complete stranger. I personally know 6 people who have given a kidney to someone they never met before. This level of altruism is astounding, yet we often accept it without a second thought. When my nephew was sick, his friends launched countless bone marrow drives, recruiting new donors with incredible dedication. They managed to collect 15,779 swabs, which led to 107 life-saving bone marrow transplants. Imagine the ripple effect of those selfless acts, a network of lives saved, all stemming from the will to help someone else. Every time we walk into a Bikur Cholim room stocked with food, amenities, and comfort items, we're experiencing the kindness of strangers who will likely never meet us. Their only motivation is to help someone in need. Consider the Hasidic couple from Williamsburg, who after experiencing the tragedy of Tay-Sachs, dedicated their lives to ensuring no other family would endure the same pain. Their efforts have all but eradicated Tay-Sachs, an incredible testament to what compassion and determination can achieve. Hatzalah, the emergency medical service, started with one person who bought a defibrillator because he couldn't stand the thought of another person losing their life due to the lack of one. Today, Hatzalah responds to thousands of emergencies, saving lives because one person decided to act. And if you're ever stuck on the side of the road, in the middle of the night, with a flat tire or a dead battery, you know you can count on Chaverim to come help you out. Volunteers ready at a moment's notice to assist, simply because you need help. On a personal note, I want to share a story that's part of my own family narrative. In the early 1980s, my father, Zichrono Levracha, a successful businessman, found himself in need of a sizable short-term loan. One random weekday morning, there was an unexpected knock at the door. It was Menachem Mendel Parnas, Zichrono Levracha, an acquaintance from Shul, who would eventually become a lifelong, dear, and beloved friend. "Tovia, I heard you need a loan. How much do you need?" he asked. My father, feeling embarrassed, hesitated to say the full amount he needed. He had been planning to approach a group of people and sign a heter iska so he could pay interest, since it was, after all, a business deal that he was confident would work out. Reluctantly, he told Mendy the total amount required. Without hesitation, Mendy took out his checkbook and wrote a check for the full sum right there on the spot. My father was stunned. When he offered to draw up a heter iska, Mendy simply looked at him and said, "This is my mitzvah." and refused any form of compensation. My father then asked, when do you need the money back? Mandy responded, I trust you. When you have it, you'll give it back to me. Wow, we kids grew up always knowing what Mandy had done for us. You only do that for a brother. All these examples lead us to one inescapable conclusion. Mi ke'amcha Yisrael, who is like your people, Israel, a nation bound together by bonds that defy logic, willing to go to incredible lengths for one another, yet we often take it for granted. We see it as the way things are, when really, it's something extraordinary. These acts of kindness, the willingness to sacrifice, to show up for each other, these are not things we should ever take for granted. They're evidence of our unique spirit and strength. Let's not lose sight of this. Let's recognize and celebrate it, appreciating what is truly remarkable. Where does this come from? There are psukim in this week's parasha that begin to crack the secret, which are really themes that we've been discussing throughout the entire Sefer Devarim. In Pasuk Hey, Lo Banav Mumam, we are called the children of Hashem no matter what we do, even if we're not following Him. This is the famous Shita of Rav Meir. In Pasuk Vav, Hu Avicha Kanecha, He is our Father, our owner, Avinu Malkeinu. This is the eternal message of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that Hashem is a combination of our Father and our King. And in Pasuk Zayin, Zecharya Mos Olam, Binu Shnos Dar Vadar, She'al Avicha V'Ageitcha, Zekeinecha V'Yom Ulach. Remember the days of old, consider the years of ages past. Ask your father who will tell you, your elders who will inform you. We are infatuated with our history. What is the story that we are infatuated with? Parshas Hazinu tells us, we are Hashem's children, we are chosen for a mission. This week is Shabbat Shuvah and we are preparing for Yom Kippur. Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem mitaharim u mi mitahar eschem, lifnei avichem Shabbat Shamayim. We know that we have the privilege to be purified before Hashem, our loving Father. That was the Chiddush of Avraham Avinu. This is the relationship that he introduced. The world didn't know this. It sounds simple, but who knows if anyone would have ever found it without him. As Rambam tells us, Avram came and lit up the world. We are all descendants of the same three fathers and four mothers. We went through the same Shibud Mitzrayim, the same Matan Torah, the same Midbar experience. We know so much about each other before we ever meet each other. We eat the same matzah on Pesach, sit on the same floor on Tisha B'Av. We know exactly what each of us is doing on Friday night and sing the same songs as we lovingly light our Chanukah Neros in our doorways and windows. The shared story binds us all. No matter where we are, our personal narratives are already intertwined because we share this timeless history. We retell this journey year after year, generation after generation, not just to remember the past, but to remind us of our future. Our story is one of resilience, renewal, and return. Rashi on Pasuk Zayin says, "Lahakir lahaba, yimosa Mashiach va'olam haba." Part of our story is that Mashiach is coming, and we are going to make it happen. And psychological research supports this, that having one family story makes us stronger, more resilient, and united. In his article, The Stories That Bind Us, Bruce Feiler examines how family narratives can significantly impact resilience and emotional well-being. He highlights research showing that children who are familiar with their family history tend to cope better with stress and have higher self-esteem. Central to this is the concept of the oscillating family narrative, which presents a balanced view of the family's past, sharing both successes and setbacks. This type of narrative, which conveys that the family has experienced ups and downs but managed to persevere, helps children develop a strong intergenerational self. By understanding that their family has faced challenges and overcome them, children feel connected to something larger than themselves, fostering a sense of continuity, purpose, and identity. Feiler explains that families with an oscillating narrative create a shared identity that strengthens their bond. Unlike a linear family narrative, which only emphasizes either constant success or hardship, an oscillating narrative reflects a realistic portrayal of life's ebb and flow. This perspective helps family members see themselves as part of a resilient lineage capable of weathering adversity. He concludes, quote, the bottom line, if you want a happier family, create, refine, and retell the story of your family's positive moments and your ability to bounce back from the difficult ones. That act alone may increase the odds that your family will thrive for many generations to come. Based on this understanding, we can see why the Torah commands us to remember and retell the story of leaving Mitzrayim so frequently, every day in our prayers and annually during the Seder. It's not good enough to remember the story. We need to live it. Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo K'ilu Hu Yatza Mi Mitzrayim. Now we understand why so many mitzvos are connected to Mitzrayim. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Tefillin, Tzitzis, Pidyon HaBen, V'Ahavtam Es HaGer. Yetzias Mitzrayim is our national, intergenerational, oscillating family narrative, encapsulating both the suffering of slavery and the triumph of redemption. It's a story that reminds us, despite adversity, we have the strength to overcome and transform. By recounting this defining moment in our history, we pass down not just the facts, but also the resilience and faith that have sustained us as a people. Teaching and discussing it ensures that each generation internalizes this powerful narrative, knowing that just as our ancestors faced hardship and emerged, we too can rise above our own challenges and continue to thrive. That is why we feel such a profound connection to one another. We share the same story, the same intergenerational oscillating family narrative, which binds us together as one family, the shared experiences of our ancestors, from Mitzrayim to redemption and beyond, are not just historical events. They are part of our collective memory, shaping our identity and values. This common story, filled with both trials and triumphs, transcends time and place, creating a deep sense of unity and solidarity among us. When we remember and retell these narratives, we reaffirm our bond, feeling a unique responsibility and kinship with every Jew. This shared heritage fosters a sense of belonging and mutual support, reinforcing that we are truly one family, journeying through history together. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes, "There is a profound difference between history and memory. History is his story, an event that happened sometime else to someone else. Memory is my story, something that happened to me and is part of who I am. As with individuals, so with a nation. It has a continuing identity to the extent that it can remember where it came from and who its ancestors were." Ramban, in his introduction to our parsha, writes that this parsha is a shtar edus, it's a testimony, a prophecy that is so great that had he seen it written by an astrologer, he would have had to believe it, because every word in it has come true. How much more so when we know that it was given to us by the greatest Navi that ever lived. The Torah stands out as a unique law book because it seamlessly combines legal directives with stories and shira, song and poetry. Unlike conventional legal texts that present rules in a straightforward, dry format, the Torah weaves its laws into a rich tapestry of narrative and poetic expression. This combination not only conveys the ethical and spiritual principles behind the laws, but also engages us on a deeper, more personal level. We are naturally wired to remember and connect with stories and songs as they resonate with our emotions and imagination. As a people, we have an unparalleled love and emotional connection to the Torah, viewing it not just as a set of instructions, but as a source of inspiration and identity. This profound bond is vividly expressed on Simchas Torah, a holiday dedicated to celebrating the Torah itself, where we hold it, dance, and sing with it in joy and reverence. This celebration reflects our deep appreciation and affection for the Torah, highlighting how its unique style captivates us and becomes an integral part of our lives. Have you ever seen people dancing with the Constitution? The Torah masterfully intertwines stories and laws in a way that makes its teachings unforgettable and deeply meaningful. One striking example is the prohibition against speaking Lashon Hara, which is dramatically illustrated through the story of Miriam. Although Miriam clearly loved her brother Moshe and had only the best intentions when she spoke about him, she was punished with tsaras for her words. This incident, where even a devoted sister is held accountable for speaking ill of someone, underscores the gravity with which Hashem regards the sin of negative speech. It teaches us that no matter what the intentions, words have immense power and must be used with the utmost care and respect. By linking the law against Lashon Hara to a poignant story within a family context, the Torah makes the ethical principle unforgettable, reminding us of the serious consequences of harmful speech. This concept also explains why every Jew is commanded through the final mitzvah in the Torah to write their own Sefer Torah. This obligation, derived from the pasuk that describes our parsha, Kisvu lechem es ashira hazos, is not merely about creating a physical Torah scroll. The pasuk of Mishlei says, Kasveim aluach libecha, the Torah needs to be engraved on our hearts. It symbolizes the responsibility of each individual to actively engage with, internalize, and perpetuate the collective story of our people. By writing the Torah, we are, in essence, writing our own part in this ongoing narrative, affirming our connection to the values and lessons that shape our identity. Do you ever notice what stories and songs have in common? You could have heard a story or a song when you were a young child, and yet it remains with you in the deep recesses of your mind for your entire life. When you hear it again, you know you heard it. Both become eternally etched on our souls. The Torah is both our story and our shira. The Torah is called a song because, like music, it resonates differently with each person and can be passed on in a way that deeply moves and inspires future generations. This mitzvah emphasizes that every Jew has a unique role in telling and preserving the story of our nation's resilience and faith, ensuring that the intergenerational, oscillating narrative continues to be written and sung throughout the ages. What is this story? It starts with Avram Avinu through Yitzchak. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Avadim Ayinu, we were slaves. Hashem took us out with great miracles. David and Shlomo, the destruction of Tubate Mikdash, a long dark galus, to the present day where we merit the great zechus of returning to our homeland. As we have heard all along throughout our history, what happened. And now we need to give the story over to our children, where they know and internalize the words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Today he is our God, but someday soon he will be the God of the whole world. Bayom Ahu Yiyah Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. We understand that the future is part of our story. How does the Shira end? The last pasuk, Harninu Goyim Amo, O nations, praise God's people. And Rashi says, well, what are they praising us for? Our resilience in the face of all we have suffered. Lo so hazman, Yishbechu Ha'umos Es Yisrael, Re'u ma'ashivcha shel umazu, shedavku b'chadosh baruch hu b'chol hatzlos, she'avru aleihem v'lo azavu, yodim hayu b'tuvo u'b'shivcho. At that time, the nations will praise us. See how praiseworthy is this people, that they have cleaved to Hashem amidst all the troubles which have passed over them and have not forsaken him. for they had constantly experienced his goodness and his excellence. In the words of Rabbi Sacks, I had an unusual opportunity to say what the story of Pesach meant to Jews and why it is for me the story of stories. It took place in Windsor Castle, home of Britain's kings and queens and the oldest continuously inhabited castle in the world. In 2000, I was invited to deliver the St. George Lecture. As the first Jew to be accorded this honor, I thought hard about what to say. What would our ancestors, harried and afflicted, have said had they been able to foresee that one day one of their number would be invited back to the home of the king who had sent them into exile? I wanted to honor the memory of those Jews of an earlier age, to tell of their courage and tenacity, and thus say something of what it meant and still means to be a Jew. I said this: I try to imagine what it must be like to live, to inherit a building like Windsor Castle. To live in such a place, so steeped in history, is to want to know that history, how this building came to be and why. In the course of asking the question, I would learn about how it began. I would discover that it had been added to, rebuilt, extended, and changed many times. Learning this history would be more than simply discovering facts. Because I had inherited the building, it would be my history. I would not have chosen it. It would have chosen me. Inescapably, though, I would have entered into a set of obligations, a moral relationship with the past and future. I would be part of the story of the castle and its heirs. The very fact that it was still here would tell me something of great significance to my life. It would slowly realize that generation after generation of the kings and queens of England had endeavored to preserve the castle and hand it on intact to future generations. They had vested their hopes in those who would come after them, that they too would do the same. And now that it had come to me, I would know beyond doubt that I too was morally bound to protect it, and that if I failed to do so, I would have betrayed the trust of those earlier generations, as well as failing to honor my responsibility to England as a whole. That is what it is to live in the context of history. Jews, I said, will never own buildings like Windsor Castle. We are not that kind of people, but we own something that is no less majestic and even more consecrated by time. The Jewish castle is built not of bricks or stone, but of words. But it too has been preserved across the centuries, handed on by one generation to the next, added to and enhanced in age after age, lovingly cherished and sustained. As a child, I knew that one day I would inherit it from my parents as they had inherited it from theirs. It is not a building, but it is nonetheless a home, a place in which to live. More than it belongs to us, we belong to it, and it too is part of the heritage of mankind. What we have is not a physical construction, but something else, a story. It was given to me by my parents when I was a child. I received it on the festival of Passover. It is an exceptionally moving story. It tells of how our ancestors were once slaves, who through a succession of wondrous events were given their freedom. They then began a journey across the desert for 40 years, and later through a wilderness of dispersion for 2,000 years, in search of a home, a promised land, a place of grace and justice, and freedom and dignity. Though at times the destination seemed to lie beyond the furthest horizon of hope, they did not give up. They never ceased to travel, and I am part of that journey. I did not choose to be, any more than the member of a royal family chooses to be born into royalty. But this is my legacy, my heritage. It defines who I am. I know, just as does the heir to a castle, that I am a link in the chain of generations, and that I owe a duty of loyalty to the past and to the future. I am part of a story whose earlier chapters were written by my ancestors, and whose next chapter I am now called on to write. And when the time comes, I must hand it on to my children and they to theirs, so that the Jewish story, no less than Windsor Castle, can live on. Thank you for learning together.